Hi, everybody.
This is Eve Harrow,
the host of Rejuvenation. You are listening to the Land of Israel Network. Today is March 26, 2017, the 20th day of Adar, 5777, the new month of Nisan, just about to start sometime this week. I am recording this show from Washington, D.C. I'm here in the States, as many of you know. I've spoken about it on earlier shows. Wrapping up what was a wild, wild speaking tour. And now I'm Washington, D.C., just finished the Shabbaton, the Shabbat part of the APEC conference. And now on Sunday and Monday and the morning of Tuesday, there will be the APEC conference itself. So got one or two things to share with you. So bear with me. I hope you all had a wonderful week. Got some really nice feedback on my interview last week with Dale Deber. The one about how the Jesuits brought them back to Judaism, like the people of faith. And so I hope you enjoyed it. And if you missed it, you should catch it. It was really, really something very, very special. Anyway, so I started off the week with him in Sacramento. Actually, that was already last week, speaking at the Chabad to a lot of a real eclectic group there, and that went beautifully. Then I made my way over to Philadelphia, where I spent last Shabbat with friends and was invited there because they know that I'm a big fan of Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, the former chief rabbi of England. I read pretty much everything that he writes, and he was the scholar in residence there for Shabbat. So that was also very nice. It's always wonderful. Shabbat is always wonderful, and it's like to recharge my batteries, and I got to spend some time with some friends, and that was also special. Rabbi Sacks also usually has some beautiful insights as usual, although I would say that since I've read so many of his things, it perhaps didn't impact me as greatly as it did for other people for whom some of his thoughts and ideas are new, but it was a wonderful way to spend Shabbat. Then Sunday morning, got up and flew to Charlotte, North Carolina, where I had a meeting in the home of a couple who consider themselves Torah observant Gentiles. Lots of Art Scrolls books in the house. You would really think that it was the home of Orthodox Jews, except that they still believe in some kind of specialness to Jesus. So we had a very interesting meeting there, speaking about Israel, the connection to Israel, their connection to Israel, what's really happening there, how it affects Americans as well. And it was possibly the after meeting discussion that was also, for me, providing a lot of insight. I love talking to people. I love talking to people who are passionate about whatever it is that they're passionate about, and finding middle ground or finding commonalities and finding the things that we don't agree on and why. And so I think that I've grown tremendously in the last week from the conversations that I've had with people, and hopefully I've been able to do a little bit of the same for them. Then after Charlotte, it was on to Austin, Texas, where I spoke to members of a church and some of the people from Hayovel, the group of Christians who come to Israel, who come to the Shomron, who come to Samaria, and help some of the vintners that I know so well to harvest their grapes. And in that, feel that they are fulfilling the prophecy in Jeremiah about one day we will plant vineyards once again in the Shomron. And so they feel very connected to the Bible and are very good friends of those of us, the people who live in the Shomron. Many of the people live in the Shomron. So that was, I think, very eye-opening for many of them as well. And there's kind of a common theme in of all the places that I've spoken to, I'll touch on in the end. From there, I went up to Chicago. I was on a plane every single day this week. I have had so many American airline pretzel snacks, I can't even begin to tell you. So I was up in Chicago. And they, in the conservative synagogue there, they screened the film, The Settlers. Oh my goodness, I've already seen it once. Seeing it the second time wasn't any better. It is such a piece of propaganda work against the Jews who live in Judea and Samaria. The filmmaker Shimon Dotan admitted it himself in an article that was published in Haaretz, that he just took a small slice. He took the people that he wanted to have as the image of the people living in Judea and Samaria, and that's what he made the film about. No context, no balance, nothing. But fortunately, at least this evening in Chicago, and I was invited there, and there were, I don't know, 120, 130 people there, I was able to we had kind of like a question answer thing with the rabbi and with myself. And I was able to, I hope, dispel some of the lies and some of the confusion that is raised in that film. But I would recommend that unless you know your stuff and know it really, really well, that you not watch that film without having somebody be able to explain to you why it is so devastating and really, really a piece of propaganda, trying to make the Jews looking in Judea and Samaria like people that you really couldn't relate to very well. And of course, we know that that's how it works with propaganda when you're trying to demonize people, is, you know, you just don't feel any sympathy, any empathy, not interested in these people. And then if something happens to them, if they're killed by terrorists, if they're thrown out of their homes, whatever it is, you didn't really like them anyway. And so that is like a classic film for that. And so I think you should watch it, but watch it with people or have an explanation handy or in some kind of situation where you can understand why it is such a dangerous film. After that, it was on to St. Louis, where we used to live in the very, very early years of our marriage. So I got to see, again, some old friends and reconnect and go back and see the apartment that we lived in when we were first married and where our oldest daughter was born. And that was very mixed feelings there, just thinking about the person that I was then, the person that I am now, all the things that have happened in the interim. It was really something else. But I spoke at the Young Israel of St. Louis that evening to a lovely crowd of about 60 people. Again, about Israel, about the situation there, about you know, why Israel is important, why Israel is important also to America. I don't have a canned speech. Somebody asked me after one of my talks for my notes, and I said you'd have to like basically have an MRI of my brain because I don't do that. It comes, and it's always different depending on the people that I'm speaking to. The next night I was in New Jersey at the home of friends and just like a private quiet meeting and speaking about sovereignty issues, the different plans and for what we can do with Judea and Samaria, but also Israel in general. So the main theme, though, that I was finding everywhere I went, there were a couple of them. One of them is that people don't know. There is an urgent need for education on the history of Israel. I mean, history in general is important to know, but at least the last 100 years, all right? If you're thinking to yourself, this is so overwhelming, how am I supposed to learn all this history? Start with the last 100 years. Start with World War I through today, okay? And the development of the different plans and the different ideas for what was to be done with the area called Syria-Palestine, the British Mandate, Land of Israel, Jordan, whatever you want to call it, okay? And that for starters, that will take you a while. But people just don't understand the complexity, don't understand how this also affects the Western world, that what happens here in Israel is not just our story. Of course, because it was me speaking, it's not just the history aspect of it and trying to explain Israel's position. But it's a lot of Tanakh. It's a lot of understanding the stories in the Bible, how they're coming back again. There isn't one situation that we're going through today that doesn't have some kind of corollary story in the Bible about leadership, about wars, about people's personalities, whatever it is. And what I'm finding is that the Christians that I meet with, and obviously it's not a coincidence that that's why they want me to come and speak to them, are becoming more connected and more connected to what you can call the Old Testament, to what you can call the Bible, realizing that they were kept from that book for many years by their own leaders and disgruntled in many ways with their leaders, and looking to the Bible and looking towards Jews for some of the answers. But the other really upsetting thing that I found, and again, it's not news, is that many of the Jews here in America themselves are not attached to Judaism. Like maybe instead of having these designations, Orthodox, Conservative, Reform, Reconstructionist, we should have biblical and non-biblical Jews, or something that in a better way explains how people feel, like the faith part of it, not just how they run their daily lives, like the framework of their lives, if they eat kosher, if they don't eat kosher, whatever it is. But this element of understanding this the 4,000 year connection, not only between the Jewish people as a nation, not only between the one God, which is what Abraham kicks off, But also then you get a better understanding of the yearning and the attachment, whether we were there or not, to the land of Israel. And so overriding was how important it is for people who know the situation to go and explain and educate people, because a lot of issues, they're so complicated. And then everyone's like, they just see it superficially. Over here on Friday, I came here to Washington to the Shabbaton for AIPAC, which is a much smaller version of policy conference itself. It tends to be obviously more people who keep Shabbat and who didn't want to come here on Shabbat, so they came here on Friday. And the Hartman Institute, which is an institute in Jerusalem, runs Shabbat. So all the lectures are done by associates and doctors and people on staff at the Hartman Institute. And some of the lectures, many of the lectures, were really quite interesting. Last night I went to hear Yossi Klein Halevi, whom I've spoken about before on the show. He wrote the book Like Dreamers. Somebody with whom I don't agree with on everything politically, have tremendous respect for, consider a friend. And he was talking about a program that they were running at the Hartman Institute that they've been running. It's now starting a fifth year with Muslim Americans who really don't understand the Jews, the Jewish tie to the land of Israel. And therefore, there's a lot of animosity and even you could say anti-Semitism. And I know some of you are saying there, but Arabs are Semites too. Okay, let's leave that, please, for a second. All right, you know what I'm saying, that they're living in a milieu which is just automatically anti-Jewish. And some brave ones, approached him and asked to be able to learn about Judaism and about the tide of the land. So they've been running this program, some success, that some of the Muslims who were very out there in American life have left organizations like CAIR, C-A-I-R, which is really like a front for terrorism. There's no other way of putting it, and have reached a different understanding about Jews. And you know, somebody sitting next to me said, well, like, what's the point? And why is this important? But I think that everything is important. And I'm just glad that somebody is doing something. Is it going to change the world? Of course not. Are there still too many Muslims and too many Arabs who dislike Israel just as a knee-jerk reaction, who think that Islam just automatically is bad, you know, is anti the Jews? Of course. But you have to start somewhere. And I don't buy this idea anymore. Like, it's just too much and we don't even know where to begin. If everybody does something, and you hear, guys, if you listen to my show, you hear me say this all the time. If we all have to do something, and hopefully it'll make a bigger change, but there's no excuse for saying it just can't be done. So they've taken this on, and hopefully, you know, maybe somewhere it'll help. It'll, you know, the Muslim world is only going to change their attitudes from within the Muslim world. But first they have to be educated as to why perhaps some of their ideas weren't great to begin with. So that was one lecture. Today at lunch, I went to hear Dr. Tal Becker, and he was speaking about the connection between American Jews and Israel. And it's in a few different areas. One is, you know, a place where Jews can be safe, could be physically safe, and that's where AIPAC fits in. AIPAC as wanting to ensure the relationship between Israel and America, and that the American interests in the Middle East are also valued, but of course ensured by the fact that you have a strong Israel with the values that America has in the Middle East. And so the safety aspect, of course, is very big. And the ways and how else do American Jews, how do they connect to Israel, is the way that Israel is normal, the way that we're just like every other country, but also the ways that Israel is extraordinary, the things that we do that are really special and make everybody proud, and that, you know, for mankind have the potential, of course, and these are things that we've, you know, we all know about, not just in computers and high tech and water and food, etc. And those are things that those are three basic areas. But with Tal Becker, somebody said that I think it was with Yossi Klein. It doesn't matter. The basic idea is somebody got up, a young person got up, and said, "I'm a millennial. And I was raised in a home that was very pro-Israel and Zionistic, but now I'm going to college. My best friend is a Muslim. And what am I supposed to do, like, with the different narratives?" And I sat there and I got so sad, because we have not educated our children as to what is really happening. And there is this sense of not offending anybody, right? We have to be like Parv. We can't have any session like at APAC. Those of us, there's a few of us here, including Yishai Fleischer. There are a few of us here. We're going to have a reception for Judea and Samaria on Monday at 1 o'clock in Washington, D.C. A whole lot of people are coming, a lot of different congressmen. Ron Dermer is supposed to be coming, some members of Knesset and ministers also from Israel, Tzipi Chotoveli, and I think Rabbi Eli Dahan, and are going to be coming people who support the Jewish presence in Judea and Samaria, who feel that this idea of creating a Palestinian state there is just horrible. But more the positive aspect of Jews should be able to live in Judea, and we're going to have wine, and we're going to have chocolate, and that's all a wonderful thing. But there should have been some kind of discussion at APAC. It's 50 years since the Six-Day War. There should have been some kind of panel, pro, con, put everybody up there. But there are a lot of students coming to APAC. They're very proud of the fact that they have thousands of students coming here. This is the perfect opportunity to have them ask the questions and get the answers, because this is what they're facing with. But it's like being faced with on campuses and in other places. But there's this like, no, we don't want to be controversial. Somebody said to me today that last year was such a noisy APAC, if you will. There was so much going on because the different presidential candidates were speaking here, and there were demonstrations outside, and there was all kinds of things, and they just wanted to have it quiet. But how safe do you make all your spaces if you never discuss the issues because you don't want to offend anybody and you don't want it to get political? Then how on earth is anybody going to learn anything? At some point, you have to like form an opinion, or at least always be in formation of an opinion. But ignorance is an enemy here. Ignorance of what, again, of the history, of the current situation that Israel faces, both security threats, but not only. And for me, I just see that I would rather have somebody give me their opinion and have me disagree with it than just ignore it. Or you know, well, I think it was Dr. Tal Becker who said that that he was somewhere where a kid like shot a hoop, you know, shot a basketball into a hoop and missed it completely. And he still got some kind of prize because the director there, or the team leader, or whatever it was, said, well, the space around the hoop is just as important as the hoop. Like, what? You know, there's no goals, there's no challenges, there's no succeeding. Everybody is just fine. You know, it's taking that idea of just try as hard as you can to a total extreme. And I'm seeing I've seen this for a long time, but I think it's more shocking to me now than it ever has been. This, everybody's trying to be so politically correct. There's nothing to stand for. There's just nothing here. And then there's no discussion. Then there's just, at the end, like nastiness, which is, Americans have still not climbed out of the elections. Okay, whatever like side you're on, there's still like, and in Israeli, it's like, okay, guys, get over it. We also have these kinds of burning elections where each side thinks that if the other side wins, it's going to be like the death of the country. But at some point, you pull it together. You have outside threats. Yeah, maybe America doesn't feel it has enough outside threats, so it can continue to natter on and try and, you know, not let the administration get it going, or every little thing that happens. I don't know. I really don't know. It has me worried for America. And this is one of the things that I talked about everywhere I went also, that Americans are not paying attention. Westerners are not paying attention to what's happening. They're not educated enough to realize what is really going on, and just going about on their daily business without realizing the bigger picture in the world. And so the bottom line is that it comes to getting to know the issues over and over and over again. And APAC, to a great degree, is, yes, everybody here is like, you feel really good. You do feel really good here. Everybody here loves Israel. Everybody here is caring. The APAC itself, which is, I was just at the Shabbaton, the APAC itself is just now starting, is not just Jews. It's also Christians that love Israel, that care about Israel. And that's wonderful. And even if they have thousands of people here, but where's everybody else? Where is the rest of American Jewry and the rest of American Christianity that may not know how important the relationship is, that may not understand the importance also of the Bible in today's world? And again, not even in a religious sense, but in a sense of continuity of mankind, of the things that we have gone through, of those searches for faith, which some people are having. Many of the people that I spoke to this week, both Christians and Jews, are on those journeys, are on those searches, and it's a magnificent thing to be a part of and to speak to people about. And others are just like, like not caring. And it's so hurtful for me because I see that a lot of Jews, I don't know if their grandchildren are going to be Jewish here. They don't care enough to know the issues. They're so open-minded that they'll listen to everybody else's narrative but not know their own. How can that be? How can that be that you don't have your own fully formed identity already when you're an adult, let alone when you're a child? And the fault is I guess, in the people that should have been educating you along the way, either in your home or in your schools. But how can people not really understand where they came from and where they're going? And I guess it could make me angry, but more than anything else, it just makes me incredibly sad. And so I would hope, because I love this country so much, that somebody gets it together here and somebody realizes that, I don't know who the somebody is going to be either, that it has to change here. And we'll see where it goes. But I had a fascinating trip here in the last week and a half. Planning on coming back again. Thank God it was well received and people said, you need to come back. And this time we want to get you into the other synagogue, the other church, the campus, and get that word out and try and inspire people to also investigate for themselves. And so thank God. One of the funny things that happened here on the Shabbaton is I ran into my old counselor from my youth group when I was growing up, and I haven't seen him in a long time. And he said to me, you were the least likely person to be a public speaker of anybody that, you know, of any of my, what do you call, chanichim, of any of my, not campers, because it was a youth group. It wasn't necessarily camp. Whatever, you get what I'm talking about. And I am, when he said that, and it's so true. It's so true. Just somebody with so little self-confidence and never thinking that I would ever like really be able to make any kind of an impact. And Hashem gave me a voice. He gave me a passion for the land, for my people, for my faith, to which I am ever grateful. And the fact that I have the ability of trying to bring that out a little bit, because there is a spark in so many people. And if you could just fan it, and I come from the place, I live in the place where it's just in the atmosphere all the time and it just soaks into me. And if I can in any way get it out there and have others understand, then I don't know, I guess maybe that's what I was born to do. Okay, I have got to get going now. Lots to do. We'll report back to you next week. Eve Harrow, Rejuvenation on the Land of Israel Network. Please write to me, eve@thelandofisrael.com. With many thanks, as always, to Ben and to Tabitha and to everybody associated with the network who lets us get out there. So I'm looking forward to finding Yishai and seeing what his impression is of what's going on here. He's really awesome, by the way, in case you guys didn't know that. And I'm sure a lot of you are nodding your heads right now. He's really something else. So Shavuot Tov. Chodesh Tov, as the new month comes in the middle of this week. Take care, everybody. Eve Harrow reporting from Washington, D.C. Goodbye, everybody, for now.
The best place to stay in Jerusalem is Windows of Jerusalem Apartments. Windows of Jerusalem Vacation Apartments offers luxury 5-star short and long-term rental apartments in the heart of Jerusalem city center. Elegant and modern, inviting and comfortable. The view, the location, the great apartments, and the staff will truly make you feel at home in Jerusalem. Book your stay now at windowsofjerusalem.com. That's windowsofjerusalem.com.
Do you like picking strawberries or blueberries in the spring and summer? What about grapes? If you were to take an experience like picking grapes and move it to the heartland of Israel, this is when an experience becomes prophetic. Young and old, singles and families are all invited on this adventure of a lifetime. I'm Joshua Waller with Hayuvel, and I invite you to join us on the mountains of Israel, where prophecy meets reality. Go to hayuvel.com, that's HAYOVEL.com, for more information.